This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. The Washington Post reported this week that in late July, the FBI raided the home of former Donald Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. The raid took place a day after Manafort testified at a Senate hearing. Commentators view the raid as a strong sign that the investigation by special counsel Robert Mueller into the Trump administration's links with Russia is ramping up. Meanwhile, Trump was recently revealed to have privately reached out to Mueller in an attempt to win him over. My guest is Kevin Gostola, managing editor of Shadowproof.com. He also produces and co-hosts the weekly podcast Unauthorized Disclosure. He's a frequent guest here on this program. Welcome back to the show, Kevin.
Hey, thank you for having me.
I was surprised to hear about the FBI raid on Manafort's home. I mean, this is the kind of thing we're entering the history-making territory right now. You know, just as we have books written about Nixon and Watergate, it's likely we're going to have books written about this era, right?
It's possible. Although, in regards to Paul Manafort here, we don't actually know what it is the Mueller investigation is trying to obtain by going after whatever was in the home, whatever they were trying to get through this raid. I agree with you that it appears, and most analysts have said, this looks like a ramping up. But there also could be the possibility that there's something in this home that Paul Manafort wasn't going to give up voluntarily, or that Mueller believed they would have to go in and take forcibly so that it wasn't destroyed.
Now, there is some speculation that the Mueller investigation is actually expanding to include Trump and his associates' financial ties to Russia. Do you know anything about whether that raid was looking for tax documents and other sort of related financial documentation?
Yeah, that's sort of what I was hinting at, is part of this investigation, at least when it comes to Paul Manafort, has also included some of his dealings with real estate and also advising a former leader in Ukraine, Viktor Yanukovych. And of course, for people who don't know, he's exiled right now. He fled Ukraine because he faces corruption charges and he's in Russia, and Russia won't allow him to be extradited to Ukraine. And so he had been an advisor of Yanukovych, and they're looking, I think, potentially what might be of interest and what documents they might really want is any records he might have had in his possession from work he did advising this Ukrainian president. Because part of this investigation has been that these people are fronting for Kremlin interests. And whether that's true or not, I don't actually know, but it is within the realm of interest. And I think what's interesting is that the Trump administration really wants to keep this focused upon just the votes. You know, what did Russia do when it came to the election? Did they actually sway it? What kind of influence actually led to Trump's victory, if there was any influence at all? And what Mueller is going to do, because he's a thorough investigator, is look at all these other things that is going to make the Trump administration very leery, or I guess wary about what kind of outcome could happen as a result of the investigation.
So there's the issue of whether the Russian government orchestrated the election of Donald Trump, which, you know, is the subject actually of a lot of sort of left-leaning conspiracy theory. But then there's the very real issue of the Trump business having ties to Russian businessmen. They have gotten funding for their golf courses from Russian businessmen, many of whom are likely to be sort of, you know, mafia leaders in Russia, because that's what the business climate there in Russia is. And it seems as though it's possible that the Mueller investigation is actually going there. And that too should be something that Trump should be worried about, right?
Yeah, and then just for some larger context, that's why it's been very difficult to convince the Trump administration that they need to take a more aggressive position towards Vladimir Putin and the entire government. And it's why they've been reluctant for sanctions. It's why seeing Congress push legislation that imposed harsher sanctions on Russia is something that was going to push the tensions to a sort of pitch point, force Donald Trump to make a decision about, you know, which side are you on? And I'm not here to say whether that's right or wrong, but it's fundamentally added a layer of conflict to what we've seen happen in the last seven or eight months here.
So also Mueller himself, let's talk about his sort of standing as an investigator. Trump has repeatedly called what he's doing a witch hunt and a hoax. He has attempted to, we understand from reports that his team is attempting to dig up dirt on Mueller, you know, the kind of opposition research that candidates do when they're running against one another, so far seems to have come up empty-handed. And Mueller had been asked to make financial disclosures to show that he didn't have any conflict of interest. He seems to be coming up squeaky clean. And that is, of course, important for the seriousness of any investigation, right?
Yeah. So one of the things that you're talking about here is that there's been reports, or I think you're alluding to, is there were reports from news organizations on the fact that Donald Trump's administration was looking into the team, Mueller and others who are involved in investigating him, searching for any sort of conflicts of interest, I think trying to maybe score some political points or embarrass them by suggesting that they would be partial or biased in the way that they went about this investigation. Of course, most people in the establishment view Mueller as this thorough person who's going to take a very comprehensive look at all the evidence that he's able to obtain, work all the different avenues in order to obtain as much material as possible, call in people for questioning, do probably multiple sessions of questioning with the people who are suspects or are implicated by this information. What people maybe may not know, we don't have to get into a lot of detail here, but just for, you know, brief background, is that Mueller has history here of investigating Enron, of looking into this massive corporation and all the corruption that it was implicated in as an energy conglomerate. And also has brought on a person named Andrew Wiseman, who was involved in that investigation as well. And so for people with high hopes, I suppose people on the left with high hopes about what could happen here, you know, you would be thinking that he's going to use the same tactics and strategy that he used to bring people involved in Enron to justice. And that's the kind of investigation you would hope for from Mueller. And that's, you know, hopefully maybe that's where it's going to go. But as it goes right now, we're seeing, I think, a standard process unfolding. I don't particularly think that the grand jury is entirely remarkable, though it does mark a new chapter in the investigation. But we've learned in the last couple of weeks that there's a grand jury impaneled in Alexandria, Virginia, in the Eastern District, and that this is something in which people are possibly going to be brought before and will have the option to plead the fifth or actually talk about what the Mueller investigation is looking for.
And then we were also learning this week that Donald Trump himself, through his lawyer, reached out and sent private messages of, quote, appreciation to Robert Mueller. He appreciates what Bob Mueller is doing, Trump's chief counsel John Dowd told USA Today. He asked me to share that with him, and that's what I've done. Isn't this hugely inappropriate? I mean, and does this just indicate that Trump feels like his sort of business approach to government, which is just, you know, use any channel available, including unethical back channels to get what one wants, is the way just, you know, to do things. But of course, it doesn't pass muster in government.
It's schmoozing. If you wanted a deal, if you wanted to get the best possible deal, if you were Donald Trump before he was president, you'd want to invite someone in and, you know, maybe wine and dine them and get them to believe that you were worth doing business with. And so I also think when you're under threat, you want to protect yourself from any potential enemies. So he's trying to keep his enemies close, so to speak, so that he can be prepared for whatever might happen. He's hoping to probably get some kind of tips or insights on what exactly the Mueller investigation is looking into so he can then publicly respond or lash out against these individuals as he has done before. And but like you say, I mean, this just looks bad. It makes it seem like he doesn't respect boundaries. And that's a big issue. I think that there's one group of people that have been taken in by wild conspiracy theories about what sort of influence Russia may have had on this election. And that's an issue to be dealt with. But then there's a real and very important issue about whether Donald Trump is willing to respect processes as they're unfolding institutionally and not engage in obstruction of justice and not do things like engage in perjury or encourage people to engage in perjury or make false statements in documents or pressure people or coerce them not to give truthful testimony. This is something that is really troubling for anyone who lives in this country.
Well, Kevin, I want to thank you as always for joining us today. I'm sure we'll have you back on again in the near future.
Thank you.
My guest is Kevin Gostola, managing editor of shadowproof.com. He also produces and co-hosts the weekly podcast Unauthorized Disclosure. We've been talking about the FBI raid on Paul Manafort and how the Robert Mueller investigation is going. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.